Next Gen Game Chat. Hello, Pleiades and fanboys. I am your caster disaster master. What? Tommy. Game on Gargan. And I am joined by the prodigal son of podcasting, Quentin Maddox Gargan. And the big boss man of Buzz, Ed Defense Ross.
Hi, everyone.
Or Earth Defense Ross. Yo, Ed's name stands for Earth Defense. I'm telling you. We realized that yesterday when we completed Earth Defense Force. What was it?
4.1
Shadow of New Despair or some shit. Yo, that game's a beast.
Thomas.
Your middle name is Thomas?
Yeah.
Let's get right into it, what we've been gaming. Yeah, what we've been playing was EDF, and EDF was kicking our ass in those last, like, 10 levels or whatever. It was beastly. Like, there was a... I remember maybe the 30s is when we did that one robot mission that really, like, turned the difficulty up. Like, when in the first, like, the first 10 missions, it's like, you can go out there and you just kill insects for whatever. For, like, 15 minutes, and end the mission. But then they take it to the extreme. And, the game got, I'm telling you, like, I'll be honest, it got frustrating, you know, but we prevailed. We beat it.
We didn't even realize it was the last mission.
Yeah, I know. We thought it was going to be 100. We were on 98, and right after we beat it to mission complete, we saw the cutscene. We were like, yeah, trophies popped and shit, for me at least. And we had to go back and do that one mission for you to get the trophy.
But I crapped out that I got kicked out of one mission back in the day.
Yeah, no, instead of leaving, I just finished it.
Yeah.
It's funny. So yeah, Earth Defense Force is fun. Like, I wouldn't say, like, it didn't reinvent gaming, or it wasn't like a spectacular game or nothing like that. I don't see myself going back to that one as much as, like, whatever. I really do feel like the other one we played, I think, was, like, a little bit better. I think maybe just a little bit more consistent. It was definitely shorter, but this one's, like, ridiculously long.
Yeah,
like 98 missions, but it's a good bang for your buck. Like, I didn't get, we paced ourselves. We played like three or four missions a night and would take breaks or whatever like that, you know. Like, I couldn't see you playing this game through, like, where this is the only game you play. I mean, like, I guess if you don't have any money and you buy this game, it's pretty good for its value, but I'd get bored the fuck if I played this game any more than like 67 hours, because I'm up to like 46 right now. And I see myself going maybe 5 more hours of the game, and then I'm out. You know, like...
Maybe if we change classes, it'll be more fun. Because I'll try... Because the 3 classes we never did.
I'll try out some other classes. Yeah, I probably... Yeah, you're right. That makes a good point. Because if we switch out classes and we get different weapons, there might be, like, new weapon types that will inspire me. Like, this gun might feel, like, really powerful and whatever. And I'm sure, like, the other classes will probably have a little more powerful weapons than me, the Wing Diver, you know?
Yeah, you have more agility than my class did.
Yeah, but you have more health, so like
a lot more. Yeah,
I don't know if your weapons were stronger overall or what, or like if they're comparable or maybe they're just different.
No,
but
because my one weapon I got that's your weapon, they said, is like it's a fusion sniper rifle. I get 200 shots on it. And that's it. I can't reload because it's from your technology and it won't let me reload.
Oh, really?
I don't have the jetpack, it said, or something like that.
Oh, what, do you know what gun it was?
It's like a laser fusion rifle, that's what it says.
Oh, okay.
It's a level 25, I got it right at the end of that boss fight we had in the end.
Oh, alright. I'll check it out, I'll look at it. But yeah, I would, you know, I don't want to put a score in EDF, but I would definitely recommend it to, like, somebody who's looking for a good, you know, it's 4-player co-op. Online, I think you can. I don't know how many people you can have offline. I don't know if it's 4-player script screen or just two player, but I think there is offline co-op. But it's a good, I recommend it. It's a good game. I definitely like. I thought I loved EDF, but after playing through this whole game, like, I enjoy EDF, like, to a degree, but I can't... You can't... You can only play it for a certain amount of time. It's not... Like, you can definitely play... I think Destiny, you can play a little bit longer than that game in one sitting. But, like, most of the nights, we got, like, we're like, all right, I'm out of this. Like, we got frustrated a lot, and we'd just rather play Rocket League. Rocket League is dope, man. And I wanted to know, like, what's your guys' view on, like, we, like, annoying people in games? Because we do it a lot in, Rocket League. I just want to know if that's, like, if... it's not really bullying. It's, I don't know, like...
We're not dicks about it. Like, we don't annoy them. Like, we're not the first ones to get to annoy them. We just say, what a save.
Yeah, we like to write what a save. Like, when, I don't know, somebody did it to us once, I think, maybe. And then we just started doing it.
Yeah, I think it started with Q. Q would get mad pretty quick. And then, like, then we got into it because we were just having fun at it.
So we write, we do the quick, what was it? The quick message thing, what a save.
Yeah.
And people write, well, one guy said yesterday, like, you cunts or something, like, fuck you cunts or something. And we just started laughing hysterical. Like, it was really funny. Like, you don't even expect to get under their skin like that. Like, when somebody writes to me, like, Tommy, you're straight up ass at this game. And, like, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, whatever. Like, all right, I guess I suck. Like, and then I'm like, dude, like, I'm not sitting there, like, questioning my whole existence and, like, being like, you know, being like, oh, maybe I really need to, like, get offline and start training myself in this game. I just, like, laugh it off, you know, like, but certain people don't take it the right way, you know. They, it's the same thing in internet comments. You make a sarcastic comment, people don't see the sarcasm in that. They might think it's serious and they'll get fucking pissed. Dude, it's funny. But I mean, like, I don't know, like, I don't know if we're hurting the world by doing this, you know what I mean? If we're making it a worse place.
I just think people are taking a game too serious. Like, get over it.
Yeah, but I enjoy it, you know? I mean, especially when we're winning. Like, it's funny.
Dude, we were up 2-0, and then, like, we were writing what a save after every skull, and then the guy was like, you guys are fucking cunts. And then, like, as he's typing these, like sentences, we score another goal on him.
Yeah, because, like, you know, while you're typing, if you're typing, like, a real sentence and you're not just... thing, it's really hard to play, so he's just sitting there not playing, so he's hurting his team by typing this, and then he costs himself another goal. So, like, and especially, like, I really especially like writing what a saves, especially for losing and trying to get under people's skin that way, because then it throws them off their game, and then they start focusing on, like, oh, they take it personal or something, like,
and then
that
they start typing.
Yeah, like, you know, the people who play Rocket League, you know, if you're playing us, just don't take it personally, like, you know? Or just keep taking it personally, because we'll kick your ass then. But yeah, so obviously you can tell we've been playing Rocket League, some EDF. Eddie, you want to go talk about what else you've been playing this week?
I played a little bit of Last Guardian, surprisingly.
Did you?
Yeah.
You went back?
I went back, yeah.
All right. Well, how do you know what you're up to?
That bridge part still, I'm still exploring.
Okay.
I don't know what to do after that bridge. I'm kind of stuck. I mean, I opened up that gate, and then that was about it, and then the two guys chased me. I had Trico kill them.
Alright.
And then I got the food on the top, and then that was about it.
Okay. I gotta see the game where you are exactly.
It was a broken bridge, and you can have Shrieko jump across and back and forth.
Because, like, I played that game, and, like, it felt like I really paid attention to the environments and, like, where I was and stuff, but, like, when people describe certain parts of the game to me, they're, like, a blur. And, like, I just feel like I ran through that game. I went too fast because I wanted to see, like, the ending and stuff, and, like, I owe it to that game to play through it again.
I don't know, like, there's a trophy in there, like, oh, don't die in the game, and you get a trophy. But, like, dude, how do you not die in that game? Like, the jumping mechanics is, like, ridiculous.
They're kind of stiff, right?
Yeah. And, like, I'm jumping on Trico, and I'm trying to jump to this thing to get to the food. I miss, and, like, you're a little boy, like, definitely when you land on the floor, you think you'll break your leg on that shit. Because you're, like, 30 feet up in the air because of how tall he is.
Did he die?
I died. Yeah, I fell.
Oh, and died?
Yeah. Okay. I fell into, like, a little gap area that was
there. Sometimes you fall and you think you're going to die and you don't.
No, because...
You just get hurt.
Is that what it is? There is fall damage?
Yeah. Like, you don't, like... it's not shown in like a health bar or whatever, but you know, your character will act. He'll start like limping.
Limping, yeah.
And then after he limps for a little bit, he'll just like start walking regular.
I think it's kind of weird though, because like you fall 30 feet in the air, like you start limping. Like, dude, you fucking have like broken legs, don't you?
Yeah,
think?
You got two broken legs, man. The guy
dying on the floor.
If that was like Suda and it was Let It Die, like yo, you'd come out. They'd have like the Grim Reaper with the cart, like come out in like fucking wheelchair. And like pick you up off the shit, scoop you out, and like drive you into one of those blue doors where those bad guys are trying to pull you through. You got to those bad guys, right? That grab you or no?
No.
Oh, all right. So you're pretty early in the game then. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Did you get the shield yet? No.
No, I got. All right.
You're really early. Okay.
I started, but that was about it. I died, and then I got my base, and I never played it after that. I started playing Last Guardian instead.
All right. What is your base?
In Let It Die, right?
Oh no, I'm talking about a Last Guardian.
Oh.
You got to those enemies that come after you, right?
Like the little suits of armor?
The armor guys, yeah.
Yeah, I got to those.
They try to drag you through those blue doors.
I never got to know blue doors.
Oh right. Well, there's blue doors, you'll see blue doors in the environments, and that's where they're trying, when they grab you, that's where they're trying, like the enemy's trying to bring you. The suits of armor.
Why?
I think I don't know. Like one time, I did get dragged into one of those doors. I just died. So like,
is that what it is?
Yeah. Like I guess it just kills you or something like that, or it just ends the game. I don't know exactly what the story of it is. Yeah. So Eddie, I think you're early, pretty early in that game. I don't know. Like I gotta see where you are or whatever. Like,
all I remember is that's the broken bridge. I just got out of that one part where
the bridge to Terabithia.
No.
Oh yeah. What, like the movie?
Yeah, the movie.
That movie was sad.
Yeah.
It was. Did you cry?
No.
I cried.
Yeah, tears of joy.
Dude, when that girl died, I was fucking devastated. I was like, no! Why?
Way to spoil the movie.
Yo, spoilers for Bridge of Terabithia. It was a book years before that, so
yeah,
fucking people know what the fuck it is. People should have known, like, what happens to the girl before the fucking thing. Me, I didn't. I wasn't expecting that shit. I didn't read the book. I read other books. Plenty of books. Not that one. Sorry. Sorry for openly weeping on the podcast. So you played The Last Guardian. Anything else you've been playing?
Rocket League, EDF, and that's about it.
That's it? You don't play anything else, no?
Nah.
Clash of Clans, yeah, you're getting tired of it, right?
So I'm getting tired of Clash of Clans.
Getting tired of that mobile shit?
No, I downloaded a different game.
You don't have a Kindle, do you?
I do.
You have a Kindle?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you gotta check the Go games are free. I don't know if they're still free on Amazon. But, like, Deus Ex Go, Hitman Go, and Lara Croft Go were all free on Amazon. I downloaded them to my Kindle. So, you should see if they're still free, you should the account, download them to your thing, and, like, play them. Dude, check them out. Because, like, I was going to buy Lara Croft Go. It was on sale for, like, $5.99, but, like, I got it free on the Kindle, so I'm like, I could play it on the Kindle, but I won't get trophies, and, like, fucking trophies for a game really worth $5 and 99 cents?
Yeah, really.
And I don't think so, but I do think they're worth maybe $2.99 or $1.99, and so if there's a flash sale in the future, I'll buy it on the fucking PlayStation. But $5.99, I don't think trophies are worth that much.
No.
But when you compare trophies to achievements, buying a game on on the PlayStation rather than Xbox, and I have a higher trophy score, and I've always appreciated trophies more than achievements. So that's why I like buying third party games or multi platform games on PlayStation, playing it on there. Even Bayonetta, Bayonetta came out, and they said it performed way better on Xbox 360. I played it on PS3. Even my brother bought me for my birthday. He bought me Bayonetta 360. I didn't even fucking play it. Dude, I ended up buying a fucking used copy of the PS3 version later on for $10. I played it on the PS3 instead. Dude, that's because I care about trophies, man. I was like, fuck this, dude. I don't want to fucking play this on Xbox. It's fucking weird. I don't know. Like, dude, I don't know why my fanboyism runs so deep. It's crazy. Like, I used to, because I think it's because I used to play, like, PS1. And You know? I had PS1. And when you have PlayStation 1 and you see like another, and then you get PlayStation 2, then you see like another competitor come in, oh, Microsoft's going to tap their Xbox console. And it's like, fuck you, man. Like, I've been here. Like, Sony's been here putting out good games. Like, what do you...
PlayStation came out first?
Yeah, PlayStation actually teamed with Nintendo. They were going to make a Nintendo PlayStation. And, something happened. Like, so there was bad blood between Sony and Nintendo or something. So they canned it. And then Sony came out with their own console. And then it rivaled, like, Nintendo at the time. And then... So then Nintendo and then became competitive. But Nintendo was also at the time competing with Sega. Then, since Sony's PS1 was pretty... was like, it wasn't like a huge success, but it picked up some steam. Then the PS2 was like a runaway success. PS2, everybody had a fucking PS2. You had PlayStation 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, everybody had PlayStation 2.
But I had Xbox 2.
But not many people had Xboxes. The original Xbox, at least.
Ryan and Andrew even have a PlayStation 2.
Yeah. Yeah, Uncle James... Dude, Uncle James had a PlayStation 1 before me and, actually, before me and Brian went over Uncle James's, and he was like, dude, we never saw a PlayStation 1 before. And he was like, dude, he's like, I got this PlayStation, you guys gotta come over. And he showed us fucking the original Gran Turismo, like, when we played it. And, like, dude, we were driving at the fucking walls and shit, we didn't know what the fuck to do. But, we were like, yo, yeah, he was like, anytime you guys wanna come over, you can play my fucking PlayStation and shit. So he let us play his PlayStation 1 and stuff, it was cool.
I had PlayStation 2. Like, yeah, PlayStation 1.
Too. The one? Yeah. Dude, I got PlayStation 1 and I was like obsessed with like Resident Evil Director's Cut. And I always wanted to get Die Hard Trilogy, but I never got it. Like, my friend had Die Hard Trilogy. He was like, tell me about it. Then I went to his house. I wanted to play it. And, like, I don't know if he let me play it. I don't even remember if I played it. But I just remember it was cool because it had like three different stages of the game. It was like you played Die Hard 1, 2, and 3. And like each game played differently or whatever. But it was like, whatever.
I think the only systems I never had was Sega and then Nintendo 64.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a Nintendo GameCube?
Like the regular GameCube? Yeah, I had that.
Yeah, I love GameCube. I had GameCube and N64. The N64 I got was like the first. Dude, like there was three people in my grade that had N64. It was me, Brian Jennings, and Rob Larita. We all had it like launch day. And then, I probably said that before on the podcast. Then GameCube came out. I didn't buy a GameCube until I saw my friend had a GameCube, and I played Super Mario Sunshine at his house. And that game blew me away. I was like, what the? I loved it. And I bought. So then I bought a GameCube, and I bought Super Mario Sunshine. I played the shit out of that game. I love that game. And also, GameCube was good for, I think, one of the WrestleMania games I loved. Like, me and my buddy would make. They let you create your own titles. And then they let you, like, you'd win actual titles, too, and then you save them on your memory card. Then you brought your memory card to your friend's house, and you play them in the game, and you could play title versus title matches. Dude, we would be obsessed with playing title versus title matches. Like, we'd bet our best titles against each other's titles. And then you'd win your friend's title and have your friend's title on your memory card. It was just, like, such an empowering, like, thing. It was great. And then they would, I don't know if they could make a new title, or they would just have, like, a vacancy for, like, that slot. Like, they'd have to win the title back. It was just a fucking cool thing. But enough about what I played years ago. Let me talk about what I've been playing lately. Or Q, we'll start with you. After Eddie already went, so what have you been playing?
I've been playing Rocket League, Overwatch, Battlefield 1. I just installed it. Whatchamacallit?
You still playing us over?
Yeah. Except now I'm kind of getting back into Hanzo because I'm
which
getting
one's that one?
It's a bow guy, yeah.
Yeah,
all right. Because I'm really a I'm
did you get Sombra yet?
I'm really accurate. What
did you get Sombra yet? The freaking troll.
Oh god. Oh yeah, and I've been playing NFL 17 for some reason. I just downloaded it. I don't know why. I haven't been playing Destiny, of course, because none of us have been playing Destiny lately.
Yeah, I don't see myself playing it. I think there's a new update, but I don't even know what the hell it's about.
Me neither.
I played Iron Banner, but that was like 2 weeks ago. That was about it.
Yeah.
So that's about it, yeah.
Alright, so what I've been playing, I beat Costume Quest. I got 100% in it, got all the trophies. But I did not play the DLC, which is titled Goblins on Ice. So eventually I got to Custom Quest 2. Really, really like the first game. Had great charm. It was a cool RPG, right? Very short. Like, it's not a deep experience, but like cool combat systems, cool idea. It's a nice game to play. You don't have to focus too much on the game. It doesn't demand too much of your attention. You could probably like set it up, you know, like only when you're battling does it demand like you to like do some quick time button press type things. That's about it. Then I played a Telltale Batman. Got the platinum in that because once you beat it, you get the platinum automatically, which is cool. I don't care. Like, whatever. Anybody says, oh, you got to work for your platinum. Fuck that, man. Give me some more Telltale games and give me a free platinum. It's pretty sweet. I got to say, the story, though, 10 out of 10. Great story. Like, the people who wrote this, like, I'm not sure. I forgot their names. But I think it was a woman and maybe a man. I don't know if it was two women. Definitely great job. Like, they weren't afraid to take risks in this universe. WB, Warner Brothers, obviously gave them... what would they say? Gave them leeway. Gave them freedom to use the characters the way they please. They weren't afraid to pull punches, to do crazy things to the characters in the Batman universe. I don't want to spoil anything, so I'll just leave it at that. It's definitely worth your time playing. Definitely a lot better than the TV show Gotham. All right, they have gay penguin who's like trying to get with the Riddler on that show, from what I hear, and like at the end of the series, I saw like the cutting end of the series, and it was just like, yeah, I had a gay penguin. No, I'm not having that. But Telltale Batman, thumbs up, definitely two thumbs up. The only negatives I would say about Telltale Batman were the technical limitations of the probably the Telltale engine or whatever. There was some lip syncing issues, and about two or three times I got kicked out of like the game froze on me. I have to wait for the error message to pop up on PS4 and then send an error message to PSN, and I had to restart the game, you know. But luckily the saves are pretty forgiving. Like, it auto saves a lot, and you know, I didn't lose much progress, like maybe a couple seconds of progress or a couple, like a minute or two. But I would definitely say it's very, like, worth it. If you see it on sale, I don't think, like, I'm not saying, like, go out and, like, you know, spend, like, $20 on the disc copy or $25. But I think I paid $15 on sale or something like that. Definitely say it's worth that. The length of it was probably about an hour, maybe longer an episode, maybe, like, or... maybe close to 2 hours an episode sometimes. Sometimes, like, one or two of the episodes felt really short. So maybe, I would say, like, maybe 6-7 hours altogether. Maybe a little longer than that, I'm not sure, but definitely worth it. Play Telltale Batman. Definitely a good story. If you're a Batman fan, you don't want to miss this. And if you're a Telltale fan, definitely play it. It's one of the better Telltale games, in my opinion. I liked it. Then, other than that, I played the EDF. We beat that. Only have 10% of the trophies, but we beat the shit out of it. Let It Die, I've been signing in every day, getting the trophies of that. I'm at the, I think, 16th or 17th floor. I hear now that's 40 floors total. So I'm about close to halfway through the game. Guns Up, I've been signing in every day, playing, invading some people's bases now and then. It's fun. Haven't been putting much time into that, though. Just signing in every day to get the daily rewards. I think I have 20 days in a row now that I signed in. It's pretty good. Then played Resident Evil 7. That was a big one that came out a few weeks ago. Resident Evil 7, I played the first 2 hours in VR. And then played like an hour or two outside of VR. And I gotta tell you, it's an incredible game. Definitely a great survival horror. You really have to... conserve your ammo, try to get headshots on certain enemies, whatever that, like that type, like you don't, there's not, it's not like the action oriented Resident Evils of 5 and 6, it's more of along the lines of the earlier ones, but it's with a first person perspective now, and I would definitely say VR is definitely the better way to play it. It enhances the game due to makes it more immersive, it scares the hell out of you. And the reason why I haven't continued is I could have beaten this game by now, because it's not that long of a game. I hear it's like 8 to 10 hours, maybe Some people say it takes 12 hours to beat. I heard that was probably because they don't know what the hell they're doing. But anyway, playing in VR is awesome. And that they have this Resident Evil 7 candle, 4D candle that smells like blood and burning timber and stuff. And I ordered this. And it won't be in stock until later in February. So I am putting Resi on the shelf, and I will play it in VR with the burning candle. So I get the full immersive Resident Evil 7 experience, and I will let you guys know how that is. And then, but the other game I've been playing is a new game. Other new game is Yakuza 0, and it's a PlayStation 4 exclusive. It's a open world Yakuza crime sim kind of with the brawl. I would say it's like basically a brawler open world action game. You do other like mini games and stuff in it. It's a good story to it. So far, I'm probably like an hour and a half into it. I really love the story. It's good, compelling stuff. Quirky stuff going on. Definitely bizarre. The mini games are pretty tight. And I hope to experience more. I'm definitely liking Yakuza 0. It did motivate me enough to go out and buy. I purchased the Yakuza 1 and 2, not for PS2 because they were way too expensive, but for PS3. It was the actual Japanese import of the Yakuza 1 and 2 HD remake. And I read like in the forum that somebody was saying like it's not too bad if you just watch the cutscenes from the PS2 games along with playing the game in Japanese, and you'll get, you know, you'll understand the story in your language. So that's probably what I'm going to do after I beat Yakuza 0. But I also heard that it's pretty archaic, the earlier Yakuza games. So it's going to be like a jump to go back and play those games with the crappier combat or whatever and gameplay. But I'm going to do it. And that's all I've been playing. So let's go on to our Nuggets of News.
Yay.
Nuggets. On to our first nugget of news. All right, this is according to Kotaku. If you Jason Schreier, I believe, wrote this article. If you, like me, are sick of your PS4 telling you that it's out of space, here's some game-changing news. Sony is adding external hard drive support in the next update. There's no date for this update, 4.50, although it enters beta today, so it's likely coming within the next couple of months. In addition to external HDD support using USB 3.0 with hard drives up to 8 terabytes, the new update will add custom wallpapers, a quick menu overhaul, and simplified notifications. You'll also be able to post directly on your PSN activity feed and watch 3D Blu-rays on PlayStation VR. That's cool. The PlayStation, you can post on your PlayStation activity feed, which is cool. So you can put up like trophies that you just got, like, and customize which ones that you want to show your friends. Also, as first reported in screenshots shared on NeoGAF and since confirmed by GameSpot, the 4.50 beta includes an option for something called Boost Mode for PS4 Pro. This is located in the System section of the Settings menu. Its description states, experience improved gameplay, including higher frame rates, for some games that were released before the introduction of PS4 Pro. Sony has now confirmed additional details about Boost Mode, including the fact that its benefit may extend beyond improved frame rates. Boost Mode lets PS4 Pro run at a higher GPU and CPU clock speed for smoother gameplay on some PS4 games that were released before the launch of PS4 Pro and has not been updated to support PS4 Pro. A spokesperson said in a statement shared with GameSpot. And it also confirmed that although the feature is in the update's beta, its inclusion in the official 4.5 release is still under consideration. So that may come in the next update also for PS4 Pro. But this boost mode's got to be kind of a good thing for people that who now it gives them more incentive to get a PS4 Pro, you know. So games like it won't be limited to the games that have a PS4 Pro patch now. Other games significantly run better, and they displayed this with the Evil Within, that there were certain parts in the game where the PS4, the frame rate would drop, and had like a little some running issues, and but running on the PS4 Pro, the Evil Within doesn't have those issues. So you know, what do you guys think about this, Eddie?
That's awesome. The external, like that thing, it's just awesome.
External hard drive support. Yeah. You gonna utilize that?
Yeah, definitely. I need to get by one.
What else do you think is cool for the PS4 Pro? Like, if you got a 4K TV, like, would you think about getting the PS4 Pro now or no?
If my TV ever breaks down, then I'll definitely think about getting it. But it's a brand new TV. I'm not gonna like just toss it out of the garbage.
How old is it?
Brand new, like less than like a year maybe now.
You should got a 4K.
I didn't know about this shit, Eddie.
4K TVs, man. You get them like $400. Man. How much you pay for that TV?
I don't even know. I don't remember. I think because our old TV broke and we had a warranty.
Yeah.
And like the warranty was up on that TV, so like they couldn't fix it and they couldn't repair it because they don't make the parts for that fat TV we had.
It was a CRT?
Yeah. And then like, so they just gave us a check for how much it was at the time and then they just told us to get a new one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And they used the check for a new TV?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why you get warranties for everything, man. Works out great.
So it was still under warranty, but they didn't have the parts anymore?
Because they don't make the parts for those fat TVs anymore.
So you should buy like a 30-year warranty or something? Yeah. If they have it, like they offer shit?
That's why, with my washer and dryer, you buy warranties on that shit too.
Oh yeah, we have that, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Dishwashers, everything. TVs too have it.
See, I don't buy like warranties on a lot of my shit. Like, but like most of the shit I'm buying is like consoles and stuff like that. Because I figure like that console's gotta last. Like, it's under a year warranty. Like, I don't think it's gonna. You know, if it don't break after a year, like most likely it's not gonna break for another couple of years. And then like if it don't break at all, like whatever. But like, I'm saying like 10 years down the line, they got a new console coming out. Or 6 years down the line, they got a new console coming out.
People say that shit about Xbox 360. Look what happened to them.
Yeah, I know, but like, yeah. The warranty was up on mine when I sent it in, but I bought it like secondhand anyway. So
then you like then again like you can just buy the warranty again on those shits anyway.
Both the Xboxes I got the fucking Red Ring of Death.
Yeah,
it's fucked up.
I used to send mine to Xbox Pros, and then I just got fed up with Xbox Pros because it was happening every other week and like every couple of months.
But then I sent those consoles back, and
they fixed it.
They fixed them, and. And the second time when I sent it back, I was like, please, like, I wrote to them, like, yo, if you're gonna, I don't know if I had the HDMI in that one. I think I had one of them had, like, the component cables. I think my older one has the component cables. So it hooks up with, you know, like, the five different cables, like, the three, like, the audio, video,
yeah.
The audio and two videos, and then the other one's like the HD color videos. And then,
well, the notes are.
No, and then, the other one I got, though, had an HDMI, and I was like, the HDMI was a lot more convenient because, like, a lot of the newer TVs had, like, more than one HDMI port, and whereas, like, most TVs have, like, either one or two component ports. Whereas some TVs have, like, four or five HDMI ports. So, like, I liked having the HDMI, like, Xbox 360 hooked up in this room. Because I had, like, three HDMI ports in the TV. And I could just, you know, keep them hooked up and not switch them out or anything like that, you know. And I would only have to switch out, like, one HDMI between two consoles. Because I have, like, four or five consoles hooked up, you know. Which is, like, only my problem, because, like, most people are like, oh, when I tell people that, they're like, oh, I only have one thing hooked up on my TV, and I'm like, fuck that, man, I need all these fucking things hooked up.
I got about four things hooked up on my TV.
Yeah, like, fuck that shit, man, I want options, you know? And, so, when I sent the Xbox in, I wrote a message to them, like, listen, if you're not fixing my, if you don't fix the console that I actually send, like, at least send me one with an HDMI port. Because that's what I fucking need back. Like, just like, if you're gonna send me like just a refurbished Xbox One instead of repairing this actual one, at least send me one with the HDMI port, not one with the composite, because I need the one, because my Because on this TV, it only has one composite port, and the composite I have hooked up is the cable. Cable's hooked up through the composite. I don't have HDMI.
Did they send you a new one, or they fixed it?
What? They sent me the... I think it might have been a new one, but it sent me with the HDMI, like a refurbished one. Oh, I don't know if it was the exact console that I sent them.
At least they were nice about
it. It might have been the exact one that I sent them, though. Yeah. But, like, I specifically wrote that just because I didn't want to get one with the composite connection because I didn't have enough composite outputs on the TV or inputs. Actually, inputs. Sorry. Yeah, so, Q, did you comment on this? The new PS4 Pro update and the PS4 update. Also, what do you think about the PSVR having being able to play 3D Blu-ray movies now?
Yeah, that's awesome that they get to play Blu-ray movies.
Yeah, because I have Jurassic Park. I have Saw 3D. So Jurassic Park 1's in 3D and Jurassic Park World are in 3D. Then I have X-Men First Class in 3D. And I don't have Avatar in 3D, but I have something else in 3D.
Suicide Squad.
Oh, Suicide Squad. And I think one other movie I have in 3D, but I'm not sure what it is. But still, like, I have a few movies in 3D, and I'm like, I want to see how like pure that 3D is. Like, because you're not wearing actual glasses. It's just in the screen that's in front of your eyes, you know. That it actually works. That's pretty cool. Like that Sony can just, you know, we'll just pop it in an update and enhancing our already freaking awesome headset. Like that's awesome that they're doing that stuff. Like, and that was one of the things I was concerned with. Like, I wanted to know if you could play 3D content in the headset, like already. Like that was one of the things I wanted to know when the cinematic mode was coming out. Like that they announced it and. You know, they answer my questions. And it's going to be interesting to see if you could play, like, through PS Now or through, like, because you can plug your PSVR into other consoles and play them in cinematic mode. It would be interesting to see if you could plug in your PS3 in cinematic mode and play 3D games in cinematic mode. It would be fucking rad. So I'm looking forward to see what happens with that. So 4.5 update. We're all for that. It's pretty cool. Q, do you think the update's a good thing?
Yeah, the update's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
What's so good about it?
Duh, you get to watch movies in VR. 3D.
3D is a lot better 3D. Than 2D. On to our second nugget of news.
2D is like Super Mario, the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two. As in
second nugget of news.
Yeah, like that.
February 2017 PlayStation Plus games.
No. Wait.
Have been announced.
2D. If you put an N in the middle, then it's second.
Two dicks deep.
Yeah. Two dicks deep in Eddie's balls.
Eddie wants two dicks. Eddie's like, yeah, when they ask him, like, he goes to the restaurant, they're like, what do you want? He's like, I want to be two dicks wide open.
Oh my God. And his mangina.
And then the Emery starts like, no, I just want appetizers.
No, I just want appetizers. And
I just want endless appetizers, you fuck.
And then they keep laughing, and then he runs away crying.
No, then he pulls out his pants and poops.
What?
He's like, yeah, take that shit. Literally, it's shit, you fuck. It came out of my ass. And then he walks out with like his mozzarella sticks in a doggy bag.
February 2017, PlayStation Plus lineup for PS4. Little Big Planet 3.
You guys hear that?
Yeah.
Little Big Planet 3 is going to be free.
PlayStation Plus. Really?
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's big.
That's a big news.
Cool. Eddie, you want to play Little Big Planet with me?
Yeah, sure.
Nice. Ninja. All right, this is for PS4. Now listen.
Okay.
Ninja Senki DX. I do not know what that is.
Me neither.
Not a Hero for PS4. Star Wolf for PS4, and Torque Hell for PS4. You get 5 PS4 games free.
That's awesome.
But they're also cross-play. That's why you get 5. Because PS3, you get Annex Extended Edition and Star Wolf PS3, which you also get PS4. Then on Vita, they're both cross-platform games. Ninja Senki DX and Torquell. So check those out. I'm definitely looking for a Star Wolf. Star Wolf's supposed to be a fucking cool like multiplayer game where you play as like, a Star Wolf and you gotta like poke your freaking nose into other enemies and kill them. Like,
poke your nose?
Yeah, like a Star Wolf has like that sword.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know? Like Star Wolf. Yeah.
I went into an MRI today. My first MRI. For my nose.
He beat himself.
Shut up.
Yeah, we hope that comes back negative. Everybody, if you like to send donations, please email me at thomas.gargan@gmail.com and just hope that this young child has not been inflicted
with nose cancer
with a death sentence, because we won't be able to handle that, and I'm being serious.
I have nose cancer.
You better not joke. You can't joke about that stuff, right? Because there's people who have dick cancer.
Like our district manager.
Yeah, he has the cancer of the prick. All right. Johnny, I got cancer of the prick. Donnie, got fucking cancer of the prick over here. Cancer of the prick.
Oh God. Give me your phone.
No. I'm in the medical books for that shit.
I'll stab you with your own keys. Oh,
but like we always do. So what do you guys? Oh, you guys think it's cool to get a Little Big Planet? I don't know about most of those other games. Star Wars I've heard of, but I'll check them out.
Isn't a Little Big Planet just came out?
No, it came out 2015, I believe.
The third one?
15? Yeah, 3. Yeah, 2015 on PS4, yeah.
That's not too bad, then.
I had the limited edition one. The one with that came with Sackboy plush and everything like that. Yeah. But, like, I'm cool, like, with getting the digital version now. I don't have to, like, open up the disc or anything. I can just download it to my endless storage PS4. Now I can just, with my data bank. Now, if I run out, the 4 terabytes run out, I can just get
terabytes.
If the 4 terabytes run out, I'll just get an 8 terabyte external hard drive. I'll have 12 terabytes.
Yeah, like your 4 terabytes is gonna run out. My 500 gigabytes.
Then if the 12 terabytes
runs
out, I'll get another 8 terabyte. I plug that into the other one. I have freaking 20 terabytes.
My 500 freaking whatever.
A 20 terabyte PS4. You can be fucking jealous all you want.
My 500 whatever bytes ran out already, so I'm gonna have to get 4 terabytes. But no, because that's not gonna happen.
I'll get pterodactyl bites.
Yo, the real question is, Q, when are you fixing your shitty internet?
Yeah, what's
is
up with
that
your?
Yeah, what's up? Shitty internet.
Yeah, what's up with your bad internet connection?
Come on, Q, you gotta fix that shit.
Yeah, when every time I'm the party leader, it's fine.
Yeah, right.
Oh
but
my
then you
God,
join
no,
you join the
not.
Game,
Q,
you get kicked out.
Shut up, no.
Dude, once you start like you're eating like snacking on foods and stuff.
You just show me your dead hamster.
And then you, like, yo, you...
Oh, look, it's right there.
Yo, are
right
your
there.
Farts... maybe it's your farts in the room are, like, fogging out the room, and it's causing the Wi-Fi to, like, fucking...
That makes no sense at all.
The Wi-Fi gets all dodgy. Yeah.
The Wi-Fi is down here, not up there in
I know,
my
but
room.
It's trying to get through all that gas. Dude, this, what are you doing?
He's, like,
such a dick. He's trying to get... Yo, he's trying to... Yo, you trying to get through his shirt? Like you trying to get, like the farts are trying to get through the signal.
Yeah, Q, did you ever play Little Big Planet 3?
No, well, yeah, a little bit.
On
to
our
third.
No,
shut
name-
up!
Wait, we're not on to our third one yet. Because I gotta name the Xbox Live Games with Gold.
Oh, do a third.
I just
no, you
go.
Ah!
I just wanted to get him with it.
All right, you got him with it. Good. All right. Well, let me just go through the Xbox games with gold quick before we go to the third nugget of news. We get Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time, available from February 1st to the 28th on Xbox One. Project Cars Digital Edition is available from February 6th to March 15th on Xbox One. That's pretty cool, Project Cars. Monkey Island 2 Special Edition is available from February 1st to 15th on Xbox 360 and Xbox One, because backwards compatible. And Star Wars The Force Unleashed, available from February 6th to the 20th on Xbox 360 and Xbox One, because backwards compatible. Third nugget of news. Marvel's move back into console gaming. This is by Kotaku. Took a step in a huge step in the direction of the blah, 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 blah. They announced the multi-year, multi-game partnership Marvel did with Square Enix, beginning with the Avengers Project. Developed by Crystal Dynamics in collaboration with Eidos Montreal, the Avengers Project is the working title for the first game to come from newly announced partnership. Details are scant, and the description provided is pretty vague. The Avengers Project is designed for gamers worldwide and will be packed with all the characters, environments, and iconic moments that have thrilled longtime fans of the franchise, featuring a completely original story. It will introduce the universe gamers can play in for years to come. The announcement was accompanied by a trailer, which is also rather vague. Sounds like a kind of Destiny game, but playing with Marvel superheroes. We'll have plenty of time to speculate about exactly what the Avengers Project is, as more details on the game and additional games being developed under the partnership are expected in 2018. The partnership is another indication, alongside the Spider-Man game being made for PlayStation 4, that Marvel is shifting its gaming focus from mobile back around to consoles and PC. We may be waiting a long time for the next big Deus Ex game. The developers of the iconic franchise have moved on to a big franchise, according to sources speaking both to Kotaku and other outlets. Sources say Eidos Montreal has canceled the planned sequel to Deus Ex Mankind Divided, which came out last year. Eidos Montreal, a Square Enix-owned Canadian studio best known for developing Deus Ex Mankind Human Revolution and the recently released Mankind Divided, is now working on two major games. One of those games being Shadow of the Tomb Raider, as we confirmed a few months ago after the name leak on the subway. The other sources say is a game based on Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. That will be the second entry in the Square Enix's new partnership with Marvel, which the two companies announced last Thursday. Eidos Montreal is helping out the Avengers, which is helmed by Crystal Dynamics. From what we hear, Square Enix doesn't plan to greenlight another Deus Ex game at Eidos Montreal for quite some time, unless Mankind Divided suddenly becomes more profitable. Mankind Divided was a large investment for the Japanese publisher, taking nearly 5 years to make. The good folks at Eurogamer first reported this news earlier this morning, which we can confirm since much of the same from separate sources were said. On Friday, publisher Square Enix sent the following statement to Jason Schreier. While we are still working on expanding the Deus Ex universe, along with creating new content and updates for Deus Ex Mankind Divided, we're also devoting our talents towards working with Crystal Dynamics and Marvel on the Avengers Project. Alright, so they didn't say they're working on a Guardians of the Galaxy game. They kind of denied that. Maybe they're being quiet about it or what. Maybe it's not going on at all, but... You know, what do you think about this, the partnership, the new Avengers game? You saw that trailer, right?
I saw the trailer, yeah. But they said Square Enix in the beginning.
No, but they're saying, they're talking about Square Enix also owns Eidos, and Eidos Montreal says that they were saying that they had a source that said Eidos was working on a Guardians of the Galaxy game, and it's they're not doing a Deus Ex anymore.
I don't know, but the game looks awesome. Like, the trailer looked awesome.
Cute, have you seen the trailer for the Avengers game?
No, I haven't.
Are you a fan of the Avengers?
Yeah.
Being a like preteen? Gonna be turning
not, no, Guardians, not really.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
What's your thing now? What's a Umi Squad? What the hell were you watching before?
What?
The freaking Ruby?
The Ruby Squad.
What's that shit?
The freaking, is Steven Universe is called.
Steven Universe?
Yep.
Dude, who's the kid? Steven Cruz. Yeah, we deal with the Steven Cruniverse. Steven Cruziverse, alright?
No, that's actually what the community is called. The Crooniverse, like the crew.
No way.
Yeah, the Crooniverse, literally.
We deal with the Croon. Dude, I'm a man.
It's not the Steven Crooniverse, it's the Crooniverse.
Yeah, all I did was combine crew with universe.
Except it was crew, C-R-E-U, crew, with universe, crew universe.
Yo, you don't gotta explain it to me. I understand.
Come on.
I understand. Like Eddie's under a man. Yeah. And he's like, it's a big hairy man, I hope. Give me loving, daddy.
So on this one video,
right down the time.
This one video, it was called Best Cry Ever. And this one guy was like, deep down in my heart, I still love you. And then the other guy started crying. He was like,
No, it's sad if we don't see the conclusion of Day of Sex, but I don't know what the hell is coming to this story. The update sounds kind of shady. Maybe they are working on Guardians. Maybe they aren't. Maybe they're working on Day of Sex. Who knows? I guess we'll have to wait and see. Would you boys stop it?
Oh, I got you.
Stop.
Oh. He's in play.
What are you doing?
He likes touching other men.
Shut up!
Yo.
No, I don't. Freaking stupid.
Yo, how many men you think he's been with in his life?
Zero.
Four.
On to our
Shut
fourth
up.
Nugget of news.
You just said fifth nugget of news.
No, I said fourth.
Oh, it sounded like you said fifth over Eddie's queefs.
Oh, his fifth.
What?
His fifth nugget.
So bad.
We'll combine, when I get to the fifth one, I'll combine queef and fief.
Queef and fif. Fief.
Queef and fief.
FIFA.
FIFA 15.
Yo, Mike plays Queefa. Oh!
Oh!
Alright, according to Jason Schreier, Kotaku, another Kotaku story, GameStop employees have always been pushy, but an aggressive new policy at the video game retail chain is taking their forcefulness to a new level. And some GameStop staff say it's making them feel like they have to lie to customers or lose their jobs. For a decade now, GameStop has subscribed to a company strategy that is called the Circle of Life. The idea is that customers should buy games, trade them back to GameStop, and use the proceeds of those trades to buy more games. GameStop's profit margin for used games is way higher than it is for new games, so it's always been in the company's best interest to push used products. Last fall, however, the company ramped up their goals with far more aggressive policy that assigns each employee in each store a Circle of Life score based on several quotas, including pre-owned sales, because the pre-owned quota is based on a percentage of the employee's total dollar transactions. This policy has punished GameStop staff for selling new games and systems. Since reporting on GameStop's controversial Circle of Life program Wednesday, I've heard from nearly 100 current and former employees with thoughts and stories. That's what Jason Schreier said. Some wanted to point out that they would never intentionally deceive the customers. Others admitted that they felt pressured to do so. A few wanted to defend GameStop, but almost all of them said that the Circle Life program was making their jobs far more miserable. For this article, I've rounded up around 20 of those employees' accounts with a variety of stories and opinions. All of these employees spoke anonymously in the interest of protecting their careers, but I verified that each one works or worked at GameStop. Emails have been edited for brevity and clarity. Bolded emphasis mine. So, a current assistant manager at GameStop says this. Your source was absolutely right when they talked about lying to guests. None of us like to do it, but we are all scared for our jobs. I worked two jobs myself until I hit assistant store leader just because I didn't get paid enough to support my family. And then shortly after I received my promotion and quit my other job, they roll out COL, Circle of Life, and effectively tell us we're used car salesmen now. Term which leadership previously used as a negative to describe attempting to sell a guest something they don't want or need.
I don't want this to sound like a sob story or anything, but my situation is the norm. I have employees who work at GameStop full-time, and every time they sell a new console or a day like January 24th rolls around, we have multiple new titles releasing at the same time. They all get extremely nervous about releasing, about whether or not they're going to hit their numbers. The worst part is the fact that all of my staff wants to do right by the guests, and we all try to do that as much as possible. But when we're faced with either losing our jobs or selling a product that the guest doesn't want, 9 times out of 10 we'll sell something other than what the guest wants. The only people in my store who aren't currently used car salesmen are the people who, like me, have put in their 2-week notice. This kind of stuff is super frustrating to the guests. That goes without saying. But it makes us feel like shit when we feel the need to lie to our regulars about what we have in stock just to keep our numbers up. Another current assistant manager said this: I just wanted to let you know that your GameStop article is spot on. I'm an assistant manager at a Midwest GameStop, and let me tell you, we are directed by higher management to mislead customers. It might not be corporate, but it's pretty damn close. During an assistant leader conference call earlier this week, an employee from another store asked why GameStop won't lower the price of its pre-owned inventory to undercut sales on new items, and what we could do to overcome such hurdles to improve our COO. Our district leader straight up told her to direct our guests to the pre-owned items in question, talk up the value of buying pre-owned, and simply omit mentioning any sales price. In the specific example she used, Watch Dogs 2, our guests would have wound up spending $25 more than they had to. So what they're referring to is that they had the new copy of Watch Dogs 2 on sale for $30, but the used copy was priced at $54.99. And instead of, like, matching the sale, like, by selling the used copy at $24.99, they would sell the used copy at $54.99 and tell the people that the new copy was out of stock and try to sell them the $54.99 used copy. It was just to maximize copies. And they have a third. He had, like, 20 people, like, write things. But I'll just read, like, a third employee's thing. I don't partake in some of the more extreme measures represented, but I do in fact think that we are incentivized to do so because of the truly awful way that we are treated as employees. It hasn't been expressed in as many words, but the threat of losing jobs over the circle of life is a very real thing that myself and my colleagues have discussed. Yeah, these guys should try to work at Stop and Shop. On top of all that COL nonsense, we've been pushed onto a culture of selling that actively neglects the parts of the business that do not allow us to in fact sell. We're constantly asked to forget about processing shipments and the like to help customers. While this isn't a problem, the problem comes when we chastise and reprimanded for not processing the shipment. I've had an entire back room full of unprocessed merchandise and then yelled about it when I was doing as I was asked. This would be possible with more hours, but we operate with something less than the bare minimum. After my store manager and I take our 80 or so hours out of the equation, we are left with less than 40 hours to apply to everyone else. This makes for an incredibly frustrating environment. So, they got to cut hours just like, you know, any other retailer, you know, at this tough time in the year and the business and everything.
So it sounds like it's
tough, like making it tough. Like, even though we spoke to somebody who we know that works for GameStop, he says that the original story is all bullshit. And he said it wasn't like that. But now they're getting all these accounts from others. So maybe it's not, you know, in our area. Maybe it's just like certain, it might be certain, like just certain, maybe certain different parts of the country that are affected by this, or certain like maybe district managers or whatever, different districts or whatever like that. Yeah. Because like from what we hear, like in our area, that it's not like that, at least from employees that I've spoken to. That he said it's not this harsh, and there is a Circle Life program, but he said it's not like that, like the way they say that you lie or whatever, like that, and it's not that bad. So,
and that second comment in there, like, oh, we don't have any of that one, so like you tell me to use the used one that's $50. Like, if that person that bought the used one for $50, like, you're retarded, just wait, get another one for $30, you know, just wait for it to come back in.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't spend $25 if I didn't have to, man. I'd be like, yeah, listen,
not for Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah, I know, come on. Everybody knows Watch Dogs 2 is a fart knocker. By Yakuza 0, it's a better open world game.
Just in my opinion.
What do you think, you? Yakuza 0 or Watch Dogs 2?
Yakuza.
Yakuza? Alright, how about Watch Dogs 2 or Yakuza 5?
I'll do it. There it is.
On to our fifth nugget of news.
Oh, I know. No. It was Fief.
Oh, our Fief. Our Queef.
Nugget of news.
In an interview with the Nikkei, a Japanese publication, Nintendo president Tatsumi Kimishima said online retails for the Switch will cost online services for the Switch, will cost between 2,000 and 3,000 yen, which is $17 and $26. So about half or less than what the less than half of what the competitors charge. So the online play, it's not going to be $50 a year or whatever. That's going to be, so maybe $20 a year.
That's not good.
That's not too bad.
No.
That's a positive spin on the Nintendo Switch, so it's not too bad. And they're not going to charge you until later in this year. So if you get it, I think it's maybe in September or October they're going to start this. So it's not too bad. If we assume the high end of the range, it's less than half of what Microsoft and Sony charge for Xbox Live and PlayStation Network at $60 per year. Those services are substantial, though, and include online multiplayer, free current-gen game downloads for the length of the subscription, and discounts in their online stores. Nintendo is offering online multiplayer, but chat is via a phone app rather than the console itself, and its free monthly NES or SNES game download expires at the end of the month. We'll find out more when the Switch releases March 3rd, but from now on, that's what they are talking about.
What do you guys think? Not bad.
Not bad for $20 a month or whatever. Yeah.
Switch? You into the Switch?
Yeah.
You ready to Switch?
Yeah.
You gonna switch out your PS4 for...
No.
Why not?
Because I'm not that into the Switch. I'm probably gonna switch out my Wii U into the Switch. Maybe.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Eddie, you gonna
when
switch
good
out?
Games
you
actually switch out your when PS4, games right? actually come out for it.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No.
When actual games come out for it.
Yeah, I'm switching out my PS4. To a PS4 Pro. Yeah, what?
Oh. Yeah, you're gonna get a 4K TV.
No, I'm getting the Switch too. Switch is just gonna compliment. I'm just gonna sit there and collect dust. Probably I'll play one or two games. Beat none of them. I'll play Zelda for 2 hours. Be like, yeah, I played Zelda. And I'll be like, yeah, I put it down for 40 years. I'll put it down for 15 years. Fuck you, Nintendo. God
Fuck
damn it,
you.
Nintendo. You killed Monster Hunter for me. Holy crap. Put it on console again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Dude, I haven't put in over, 400 hours into Monster Hunter game since it was on the Wii U.
Dude, that game is so fun.
Oh, put it back on the Wii. Put it back on. Yo, we need it. Once we get to Switch Monster Hunter, you gonna get one?
What? Yeah.
Switch Monster Hunter. Q, you should get a Switch for Monster Hunter. Stop playing Monster Hunter with us. Yo, Q's taking his shirt off. He wants Eddie to rub him down with suntan lotion, even though it's winter. What the hell?
No, yes. I don't, you fag.
What are you squeezing that bottle of suntan lotion on you?
First you cheap out on the internet, now you cheap out on the fucking heat. What the fuck's going on here?
I can't believe it. What are you doing? Are you okay?
No.
Yeah, why are you acting half your age?
Because if I act my age, I'll die.
You know what you're acting like.
You're 6! Oh, do I 6! No, you didn't lose!
Back at E3 last year, Microsoft took the world by a storm when they announced Project Scorpio. The next generation Xbox console. Since then, Since then, where the hell am I on this? Microsoft has remained relatively quiet and has not officially... Oh my god, what the hell is going on with my Kindle?
You,
it's
Eddie.
Shitty
internet. Eddie's going on.
It's Q's messing up the internet again.
It's Eddie's balls.
Xbox boss Phil Spencer, however, recently took to Twitter to calm down the nerves of fans and said the Xbox One will still be supported after Project Scorpio arrives. The tweet from Phil Spencer should be reassuring for those who worried that they would be left in the past. In fact, Microsoft already pointed out that all Xbox accessories will be backward compatible with the system, and all Xbox One games will play on Scorpio as well as Xbox One S. In case you didn't know, the next generation Xbox console will pack 8 CPU cores and 6 teraflops of power, and will have support for true 4K gaming, set to ship out in holiday of 2017. It even will support high frame rate VR. Phil Spencer has even come out and said that the company is making progress on the console, and that it will have a console and not a PC price, and that it may be years before a new Xbox is launched after Scorpio. A Microsoft... Wow, years before a new Xbox is launched.
No way.
You think if they... Yo, wow, they're gonna fucking dig their grave if they don't launch it this year.
Exactly.
Against the PS4 Pro at $300, maybe? If they drop the price of the headset, the VR, the $299 this holiday.
What headset? The
let's say they drop VR. VR. Stupid. What if they drop VR to $299 this holiday? That'd and be then awesome. You can get a PS4 Pro for $299 and a VR headset for $299, and you got $600. And what if the friggin' Microsoft friggin' Scorpio costs $500? But then you get VR. God. Yeah. What the hell?
Oh my god!
And, Microsoft white paper has also revealed more details about Project Scorpio. The white paper titled Reaching 4K and GPU Scaling Across Microsoft Xbox Devices is a look at what Microsoft has planned for Ultra HD and inadvertently reveals more about Project Scorpio's hardware.
So, what do you think, Eddie? What do you think about Project Scorpio? Did you buy one?
God, no.
God, no. Exactly.
I think this is a dangerous move. I think saying that it may be years before new Xbox launch, what if they come out with Scorpio this year, right? But then let's say Scorpio comes out and then like, you know, I guess Sony drops God of War. I don't know if it's going to come out this year, but next year. And then, like, some other games with the PS4 Pro. And we got Death Stranding coming, Kojima, Spider-Man game.
VR games.
Yeah, VR games and stuff. What if Scorpio's out? What if PlayStation... what if it's just... This just may speed up the reveal of PlayStation 5, I guess. If it is successful. But, like, let's say this thing doesn't get received well and it's just, like, sits on store shelves. It's just, like, a really strong piece of hardware that doesn't sell. And then, Sony reveals a PS5 that's more powerful than it, you know? Like, then what's Microsoft just gonna do? Come out with, like, a stronger Xbox, like, 2 or whatever, you know? Like, Sony's really in the position, especially with Horizon coming out. Exclusives are gonna be, like, really important. Going forward, because consoles, like, the message that Xbox delivered wasn't received well by fans, and it was trying to differentiate itself from, like, the, I guess, the traditional console. And Sony just came out with, like, we're all about games, 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 and, like, that's what gamers care about. Gamers care about games, basically. You know, Netflix and the other shit's like a secondhand thing. We care about games. Microsoft's now, they're saying they're all about games. But what differentiates their console from the PS4, like the Xbox One? It doesn't really do much, but it has 3D, then it has Blu-ray, 4K Blu-ray compatible with the Xbox One S. Okay. So you can buy a 4K TV and you can only play your 4K Blu-rays on the Xbox One S. Or I could just buy like a $100 4K Blu-ray player. Just have that or whatever like that. Or I could stream it on my PS4 Pro. You know, in 4K. And it's just weird. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what they're thinking. I just don't know like what they're gonna put behind it, and that's why we're gonna, when we get to our top topic, we'll each put our ideas into what, you know, what
they could try to do,
what they could do, you know, to really sell us on it, sell people like us on this thing. Because right now I'm not sold at all on Project Scorpio, and I don't think you're sold, Eddie. Right?
No.
And Q, I definitely don't think you're sold on it.
Nope.
But I'll tell you, I definitely some ways I'll come up with that could sell you guys on it. Hopefully.
I got a few too.
You know how many ways I think I have to sell you on this shit?
How much?
Probably 7.
Oh, there's 7 nuggets.
On to our 7 nugget of news. According to Gamatsu.com, Japanese company CyberGadget is releasing a PlayStation 4 save editor in Japan in March. It will cost 7,800 yen for a single-user license or 14,800 yen for a three-user license. The save editor is a PC application that lets you edit PlayStation 4 game save data to acquire things such as maximum amount of money or max out stats by entering patch codes, which are similar to a password. You can register additional content to be changed. According to CyberGadget, the save editor includes patch codes for more than 80 popular titles, including Final Fantasy XV, Persona 5, Dragon Quest Heroes 2, and Gravity Rush 2. Patch codes for unregistered game will be recycled free of charge. Here's how it works. Transfer your save data from PlayStation 4 into USB memory. Install a save editor on your computer and connect the USB memory in which you copied the save data to your computer. Start up the save editor and select the patch codes you want to use. Transfer the edited save data back to your PlayStation 4 to use the patch codes. And it sounds like, you know what it sounds like? We had this back in the day. It was called Game Genie, all right, or cheat codes. And that's what it sounds like. It sounds like a kind of like a Game Genie for PS4. It sounds pretty cool. It sounds like it's only going to be a Japanese thing right now. So I don't know if they're going to bring this to the United States. I don't know if there's a big demand for it. It probably is for cheesy PC kids. Definitely. Because they like mods to make games easier and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm sure they like something like this for like PS4 fruits. But anyway, what do you guys think? Are you going to get one of these save editors? And Eddie, you should probably get it for Bloodborne. Make your guy like give him all max stats so you can just beast through the game.
That would be nice.
He's like, this game ain't hard anymore. It's like Dynasty Warriors. Ah! And he's like mowing through bosses and stuff. That'd be awesome.
Oh God, Jesus.
And then Q, what do you think about this save thing?
It's pretty cool, except yeah, the freaking mods, it's crap. And I'm gonna see a lot more freaking kids using mods in Call of Duty and Overwatch and Battlefield and crap like that.
You love mods.
And then they're gonna get banned, which is a good thing.
I think you should get banned with your shitty internet.
Shut the fuck up.
Who's your favorite character in Overwatch?
Sombra. Shut up.
It was Sombra at one point.
Yeah, it's
not anymore, I guess.
It can be Sombra.
It's Sombra, but
fuck up.
My YouTube channel.
I like the lesbian girl.
God.
That's Sombra.io.
What?
You know, Overwatch, I had a good time playing Overwatch.
Do you want to play Overwatch today?
Probably not.
You're mean. I hate you. Why do you never play Overwatch?
Why do you hate me? I'm your father.
You never shouldn't have play brought Overwatch
you into this world if you hate me. What was I thinking? I have to take
Eddie's
you.
My real
you hate me?
Though.
Do you want to kill me then because you hate me? I have to take you out of this world. And you. You know how many characters I've played in Overwatch, though?
How many?
With 8. On to our 8th nugget.
Shut up! You suck! No, the way you said it, with 8.
Masaya Nakamura founded Namco, the Japanese... let's have a moment of silence. The Japanese company behind the wildly popular dot-munching video game in 1995. It began with 2 electric horses on the roof of a department store. The company became Bandai Namco after its merger with the gaming company in 2005. Nakamura died January 22nd, 2017. The company announced his death on Monday. Pac-Man... was designed by video game engineer Toru Iwatani and released in 1980 to adoring audiences. The game sold more than 100,000 units in its first year in the United States and was named the world's most successful coin-operated video game by Guinness World Records in 1981. The company estimates Pac-Man has been played more than 10 billion times. Pac-Man has been adopted for cell phones, Nintendo, Xbox, and PlayStation. It has even inspired an animated film, TV series, and merchandise and memorabilia lines. According to Bandai Namco, the idea for Pac-Man's iconic design was inspired by pizza. The name comes from the Japanese phrase paku paku to describe the sound of Pac-Man eating dots. A private wake and funeral were held for Nakamura, and a separate memorial is being organized. Sorry. So let's have a moment of silence. Okay, we're back, and we had a quick 9-second moment of silence. On to our ninth nugget of news.
You suck!
Speaking this week at RTX City, this is our last nugget. Gaming veteran.
You should have told me.
No, that's all right. Gaming veteran Hideo Kojima discussed some elements of his new game Death Stranding and a lot more. Regarding his decision to partner with Sony for Death Stranding, DualShock reports that Kojima said he received many offers before aligning with Sony. There were offers from people outside of gaming, apparently including someone from the United Arab Emirates, who offered a lot of money. Kojima ultimately chose Sony as a partner because he is familiar with the company. DualShock reported that he said he also reported that Sony gave him 100% creative freedom and that working with a big company like Sony will help the game have a better chance of succeeding. He said that other companies might not be okay with showing Norman Reedus naked in Death Stranding's first trailer. This is an example of the mutual trust that Sony and Kojima have, he said. Also, during the talk, but what he didn't show was Norman Reedus' pengas, which was very disappointing.
Fingers.
Also, during the talk, Kojima was asked if Death Stranding will have virtual reality elements. It sounds like it won't. At this time, Death Stranding is not a VR game, he said. Additionally, Kojima said he is not currently planning a Death Stranding sequel, but will consider if there is enough demand, according to DualShock. He also provided an update on how Death Stranding is coming along and what they will offer to fans. He said the open-world game will offer players a large degree of freedom, according to DualShock. Kojima feels the games used to playing AAA games on high-end platforms will feel at home in this kind of game. But after playing for 2 or 3 hours, they'll notice that there's something a little different about it, the site reported. Regarding the current state of the game, Kojima said the team at Kojima Productions is currently working on game logic and doing tests on various systems on the framework. In 2017, the focus will be on filling out the game world, adding on the foundation. It sounds like the early days of Death Stranding, it has not confirmed release date, and it may be 2018 or further beyond that. Someone asked Kojima if the game will be a PlayStation 5 game, and he said, no, it will be PlayStation 4 game. Sony has not announced PS5, so that's just speculation at this point. Kojima talked, also covered comparisons to other mediums. According to Ushakos, Kojima said games have potential to surpass movies and books. So what do you guys think about Death Stranding? Are you excited?
What? Yes.
You excited? Based on the trailers and stuff.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. I love Kojima. I like his games. I played all the Metal Gear games except for Peace Walker and the other one, PSP game. I'm not sure. I had it, but two PSP games, Peace Walker and something, a Portable Ops, I think. I gotta play those games. But I love Kojima. I love his quirky style. His freaking craziness. His zaniness is. He's out there. And definitely gonna play Death Stranding. It'll probably just pick it up day one because it's crazy. He says it's gonna be big. He says it's not gonna be horror. And he likes the Switch, so like me. And we'll get to our top topic now. Top topic. Our TT. And our top topic is gonna be like what makes the Scorpio compelling. How would you sell the Scorpio to people like us? We'll start with Q.
You suck. Oh, crap. Okay. So what I would do, I would announce Half-Life 3 and Left 4 Dead 3.
Exclusive
to Xbox Scorpio.
You gotta pay Valve a lot of money, because they own both of those IPs.
I know.
You might as well just partner with Steam at that point, like.
Yeah.
Because Windows is kind of a Steam competitor, the Windows Store, I guess. Oh man. Okay. Anything else you would do? That'd be a lot of money. Oof.
I would at least try to partner up with Nintendo.
That's a really good idea.
probably wouldn't work, though, except at least try.
Yeah, maybe if you can get them to, like, be like, listen, like, if you could publish a few old NES games on our, exclusively on our console, you know, like, maybe give us, like, a Nintendo app. Maybe, like, have a Nintendo app, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. That's the way you don't fuck with Nintendo. Like, you don't feel like you're making money off their games. You have a subscription-based service where people subscribe $5 a month, like, EA accesses. And you get access to, like, a certain amount of NES classics every month, maybe 30 at a time or whatever. Then some of them switch out each month or whatever like that. And then, you know, Microsoft gets maybe, what, 10% of the cut. So there, like, you know, you made a deal, like, they get, so people get to play, and also, like, I don't even know if they would have to pay Microsoft anything for that, because it would just be more. It would just be like enough incentive for people to just buy, like, oh, Xbox. I could just get an Xbox and have access to these Nintendo games, and be like, I don't want any of the new Nintendo games on Switch, and I don't want any of the new PlayStation games on PlayStation. I don't care about their, but I just care about the Nintendo games and Netflix and you know, whatever. Like, so I just want to get the Xbox, you know. So something like that, you know, casual, I guess we would get the casual gamer or something like that.
And I would try and ask Sony if some of the shooters can be like cross played with, like, if somebody has a PS4 and somebody has an Xbox One Scorpio or PS4 Pro or whatever, then the Xbox One Scorpio can play with a PS4 Pro player.
Alright, try to be the one.
Yeah.
Maybe just try to be the one to announce cross-platform play on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think one of the big reasons why Sony won't do it, maybe, is just because they don't want Microsoft to be the ones to announce that they have it. You know what I mean? Like, Sony wants to be the ones to come out and say, be like, listen, you know, we just got off the phone with Microsoft. We smoothing things out, and you know, we'd like to announce. You know, now if you play on PS4, you could play with your friends that own Xbox One. And then, like, they say that, and then I was like, oh yeah, and everybody kind of forgets. Like, then Xbox One owner's like, yeah, but like, it's cool to own an Xbox One, so you can just play with your, you know, PS4 friends or whatever like that. You know, so it's like. It's kind of like, I think that's one of the reasons why they don't want to, just because the person that announces it, like, they'll be like, oh, let's have two. I guess they would have to, like, make a deal where they have, like, the head, like Phil Spencer on stage with Andrew House, and they both shake hands, and something like that would have to be, like, the announcing of it, where you can't have one person from, like, one company announce it. You need to have two people from one person from each company on stage to, like, make this announcement. You know what I mean? It would just look bad. If one company announces it before the other, I think, because then you got some people rushing out buying Xbox Ones thinking, you know, they're the ones that made the deal. I don't know. And, like, Sony being the market leader, they don't need to make this deal, you know? Whereas, like, if they have more than double the amount of Xbox Ones sold, it's like, you know, what the hell do our fans care if they can play for, like, 20, you know, 20 more million people, you know? It's like, we already have a robust online community. Like, we don't need more. But to that point, it's too, as much people that do own PlayStations, like, Dead Star still went out, so there's games that aren't being played, you know? So, I don't know. I don't know what the hell that point I want to make with that was. But I'm just saying, not everyone's a success on PlayStation.
And, of course, I would do, like, the, whatchamacallit, when Xbox 360 games can go to Xbox One, like that stuff, with the original Xbox and stuff like that.
Okay.
Of course.
All right, Eddie, how would you make Scorpio a cell?
All right, I got a few of them. All right, one is End Halo on the Xbox Scorpio.
Exactly.
That would probably bring in a lot of fan base just to see the ending of Halo.
Ooh, maybe announce a new Halo game that says it's the end of the story.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Either Master Chief dies. Halo or the other game, Gears.
You came up with that all by yourself?
Yes.
That's a pretty good
idea. No, he didn't. I told him.
Did you?
Yeah.
What, did he search that? He Googled something?
No, I wrote them down.
Oh, right. That's a good idea. Dude, like, yeah, that's a...
Because Halo needs to end. This is ridiculous.
I would want to...
Exactly.
But see, like,
Bungie already left.
I'm not a big Halo guy, so I would have to play through all the Halos, and then... Dude, I would have to play that game.
All right, next one.
That's Q a good kinda, fucking idea, dude. Holy shit.
Q kind of stole it, but I said fixed relationships with Val, bring back Left 4 Dead.
Okay. You nerd.
You stole it, man.
I had it first, you
fine,
stupid.
Whatever. Next one is, you need to lower prices on consoles, try to partner up with McDonald's, maybe do that Taco Bell thing they did way back.
McDonald's?
No, when they had the Burger King game with the Sea King?
Yeah. Whatever, I don't fucking care. Just try to partner up with one of those fast food joints and try to give out some Xbox Scorpios to people that can't afford it. Because, right. Like, we can't afford a $900 console. Get the hell out of here.
How much do you think this thing is going to cost?
And this one's probably interesting, too. Right. This is what I was thinking. Talk to either PS4 or Nintendo. Try to make a Brawl-type game with the characters from Xbox and PlayStation. I don't know how they'll do it, but they'll try doing something like that.
That's
and
good.
Maybe make a storyline. Either have PlayStation win it, just to try to please PlayStation, or try to have Nintendo win it, just to try to please Nintendo. Like, I don't know how they'll do it, but, I mean, use the characters from both franchises, have them go after something. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It would just be like... If no ego got in the way of that, if you could have a third party studio make like a three way
brawler
game. Yeah, like that,
I don't
know, Smash Brothers type game like that.
That'd be cool.
Or maybe even like something different, dude. Maybe make a dude make like a dude bro shooter where you play with like, I don't know, dude, the characters from like, dude, you play with somebody from Killzone, somebody from like.
Fucking Gears in the same game.
And then, like...
Fucking Mario.
Call of Duty.
Fucking Mario with a gun. That's what I want to say.
No, and then somebody from, like, Fire Emblem. With a sword.
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
What does Nintendo have that's, like, realistic? Dude, maybe Mad World? Nintendo's gotta have another Mad World come after the Switch.
I mean, I know it looked cartoonish with Mario in the picture, but, like, and against, like, humans, but that'd be pretty cool, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
You think they'll ever make a third-person... 3D Mega Man. You figure, like, Mega Man, like, a Mega Man. The other way of Mega Man, like Mario 64 is. Did they ever make a 3D Mega Man game like that? That'd be dope.
Probably coming out soon.
I'm just saying, that'd be fucking dope.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and then when you get to the boss, it's just like an arena. And you gotta fight the boss straight up, you know? And, like, he just has some crazy attacks and jumps in the air and you gotta like deal with it. I don't know, I think it'd be cool, man. 3D Mega Man. Anyway. The way I would, is that it, Eddie?
Yeah, it was all of them, yeah.
Alright, the way I would sell it, I like that Halo idea. End Halo. Say, yo, this is the, you buy a Scorpio. Say like, yo, like maybe like say make a Halo game now. But then Scorpio's not selling well and just be like, listen, we're gonna have Halo 8 or whatever. It's going to be the final Halo game, but it's only going to be on Scorpio. It's not going to be on Xbox One.
I don't think it's 8 now. Isn't it like Halo 6 that will be the end?
They did Halo... What?
5 six? Was the newest one.
Oh, so Halo 6. Ish. No, I'm saying Halo 6 will be Halo 7, maybe. You got to offer a 2 to 3 year subscription for Xbox Live for cheaper. So maybe like it would come out to like $30 or $40 a year, like $100 for 3 years. Something like that. It'll be a lot more enticing. The other thing I would say overhaul Xbox games with gold. stop giving away 360 games and maybe just give 7 games away a month instead, you know, one more game than PS Plus gives away. Just give 7 Xbox One games away a month or Xbox Scorpio games, you know. Do that. New exclusives that are compelling.
I had that represent.
They got Cuphead. That's the only exclusive I think is film. Like, Crackdown 3 sounds cool, but Crackdown 2 was one of the most disappointing sequels of all time. So what is Crackdown 3 gonna do to freaking change that? Nothing!
Maybe it'll start from a new beginning.
Yo, maybe the Crackdown will be, like, some guy shows his ass crack, and some girl goes down on
him. Oh my god.
And then... The other thing I think is from day one, the The Xbox Scorpio needs to be original Xbox and Xbox 360 compatible. So you can play anything on there. You know, you pop in an old Xbox One, an Xbox original game, like either it plays right off the disc or you download a digital copy of it. They have to do that. Partnering with third parties, they need to bring exclusive Xbox-related content to the most popular games. For instance, Destiny. You can bring some Halo, you know, Halo-exclusive guns or Halo-exclusive equipment or Gears of War-exclusive guns and stuff to Destiny. Would be cool. Maybe bring, or you bring, maybe you bring Halo guns to Destiny. Maybe bring Gears of War guns to the Division. Something like that. You know, make it cool where you can only have these specific guns because they're intellectual property of Microsoft on the, you know, Xbox. I think that would be cool. That would be a, like, selling point for some people, at least. And then, and that's pretty much it. That's all I had. You know, I'd like, but I'd really love that end Halo idea. Then maybe, like, at the end of Halo, like, you know, something happens, like, where it's like, oh, there's a, an end to Halo, but then, like, you can have, like, a spin-off called, like, Spartan, and it's fucking...
Yeah, then Spartan. They come out with, like, 20 dude. Spartan games.
Yeah, like, something like that, you know,
so,
like...
And then the end of Spartan.
So, at least...
Like, the end of Spartan, and then...
So, they leave the franchise, but, like, they have some spin-off just, like... cushion themselves on.
Yeah, could you imagine it just ends with, like, Master Chief's been in a coma all this time, just imagining shit.
Dude.
Master Chief what?
Ends, like, in a coma, just wakes up in a coma room, like, oh fucking imagine everything.
Dude, they gotta show, just say they gotta show full frontal Master Chief nudity.
Oh my god.
And then all the Xbox.
Master Chief's real face.
Master Chief's real patangus.
Patangus. Mangina.
His flump-a-lump. His coochie brahabra.
What?
Coochie brahabra.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's weird.
It was yeah, Japanese.
We need to stop.
It was Japanese.
Yeah, right.
I'm not taking Rosetta Stone. I don't know how to fucking speak it. It's coochie brahabra. Okay. So, I am Tommy Game on Gargan, and you can email the podcast at thomas.gargan@gmail.com. Tweet me at thomas_gargan. You can add me on PSN, TommyG42013. Add me on Wii U, TommyG42013. Or add me on Xbox Live as DarkLuigiXYP. No, DarkLuigiYPX83. Sorry about the freaking speako. It's a typo, but... when you're saying it. If you got that, you fucks.
What?
Yeah. The Spigo. It's like, you never heard of that? Oh, I just invented it.
Well,
you fucking weeboo.
Shut up, you fucking
yeah, unlike weeboo. You, like, the words I claim to create, I actually create.
You
like
fluffing weeboo.
Like a typo, a Spigo.
Okay, whatever. Alright, yeah. I have an idea for a Halo ending. It's
I'm a genius!
Yeah, whatever. It's like freaking Master Chief dies, except Master Chief becomes like the Traveler from Destiny, and then that's how Destiny starts. That would be awesome, right?
Yo, and then like, but on PlayStation, like, the guys from Sony Santa Monica write something like, where like Kratos like defeats like some god, and then like, sends him into space, and then it becomes a Traveler, and it starts Destiny. So it's like an alternate Destiny.
That would be stupid.
Yeah, I know, but like, they could do that and be like, yeah, we had exclusive content from day one, so fuck you! Dude, they can't do nothing. Like, they can't change no exclusive story content for the Halo crap. Why even, you're like taking it personally now? Like, dude, Halo's crap.
I know! Except if that happens, that can make it better.
Dude, they had one good gun and they took it away. I fucking hate Halo.
Wait, what gun?
What gun?
Halo, the first original Halo, they had that one pistol that can zoom in to 2x. And like, I used to love that gun. I used to snipe from halfway across the board with that damn pistol. And then the second one, it took got taken away through the whole entire second one and third one. And the gun's, like, nowhere to be found. I don't know if it's in the fourth or the fifth.
Yeah, but Eddie, you can just use a shotgun. You're really good with that.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Especially on Halo.
They switched the shotguns into that shit! I'm so good with that shit! What the fuck?
I just missed that.
Eddie's complaining about multiplayer. Meanwhile, like, dude, like, we would fucking kill to be as good as you in multiplayer. What the fuck? Hmm? I'm saying, like, dude, like, I seriously, I want you to, next time we play, like, Destiny multiplayer, I want you to capture your gameplay so I can just see how you play. So I can learn how to play like you. Because, you get, like, beast...
take risks.
You get beast kills. Like, I'm like, what the hell? Like, dude, because I'm always playing with, like, auto rifles and stuff. You're playing with, like, shotguns. So I want to see, like, how you do it. Because I switch to shotgun, I try to do it. And, like, every time I'm like, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm like, oh, let me go in there. And, like, I picture myself sliding
in. It's just him being a titan.
I picture me sliding in there, meleeing the guy, shotgunning him. And then when I go in there, and it doesn't happen like that at all. I end up dying.
You get sniped.
And I really don't know how I died.
You get sniped by another shotgun.
No, it's like I go in the melee, and then the melee don't work, and then I get shotgun, and I miss him, and then I get just beat up.
And you're like hitting the wall instead of in the gun.
Yeah, it's bad. And then I pull out my sparrow for some reason, and it's in... And you're not allowed to do that in multiplayer, so I don't know how that happens. It's weird.
You know what it is? It's like Q's crappy internet.
Yeah. Shut up!
Sometimes my sparrow just
comes out. Why do you always say it's my fault?
The internet connection's so bad. So you guys want to just give your shout-outs and get out of here?
Yes!
God, I gotta go fucking fix the router.
God damn it, Q.
Shut up!
There's like ice cream cake drippings on the crunchy stuff you get in between, like, the chocolate and the vanilla and the ice cream cakes. Like, that's all over the router right now. I gotta spray and clean up the router because there's some lag going on.
It's clean AF. So go fuck yourself.
Dude, what's up with that wing sauce that's all over the router?
Yeah, like, that was
Super Bowl's tomorrow. We haven't even had Super Bowl.
That was you and Eddie. Daddy comes wing sauce.
Alright, my
Yeah, because she likes mesquite skeet.
Oh! Okay, so my crap is Enderman 296 on PS4, Ender Ninja 296, aka Slops McGee on Wii U. And Sloppy Somber EXE. I've been trying to fucking change it, so go fuck yourself.
I've lost my mouse.
It's over here.
Yeah, Sloppy Summer EXE on fucking YouTube. And that's it, yeah.
Right there. Mine is Eddie8098 and Ed8098.
You didn't even say which one it was.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Eddie8098 was on freaking PS4. And Ed8098 on Xbox. Crap.
We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy our commercial. Bye bye.
Bye!
Who did this?
Who did this?
Warning, the following commercial contains elderly violence.
Union Simulator Definitive Edition, including co-op VR mode, developed by Glory Hole Games, where player one wears the PlayStation VR mask, and when prompted on the TV screen, player 2, unknowingly to player 1, rips his or her pants off and repeatedly shoves a move controller in and out of their ass. Simulating for player 1 the experience of an 80-year-old maintenance clerk getting raped in the parking lot of a supermarket during daylight hours. You can take turns with a friend and switch roles over and over again. And after the rape VR experience, play as the confused old man and investigate who it was who raped you.
Hey, did you see who raped me?
I got raped.
They got you too?
I like it.
Well, I sure as hell didn't. They made me gay, you stupid bitch.
Talk to coworkers and get information.
Hey, kiddo, while you were in here working, I was getting fucked They made me gay! What am I gonna tell my wife? I can't look her in the eyes!
Dude, just because you took a dick in the ass.
Let me smell your dick!
Hey, get off me!
You! They made me gay! I can't sleep with my wife, don't you understand? I got fucked, kiddo! Where were you while I was getting fucked?
Gay Day VR. Coming this holiday season. Included in Union Simulator Definitive Edition. Game of the Year Edition Enhanced Deluxe Definitive Edition copy. This holiday season.
Connor, please. Connor McGregor, we know you have a huge matchup this Saturday night at Madison Square Garden against Eddie Alvarez. But can you tell us a little bit about this new big feud developing between Jim Ross and Eddie Ross?
Who the fuck is Eddie?
Who's Eddie?
Eddie's getting his ass whooped and slept. I mean, that's the furthest from my mind. I hear them, all they keep doing is talking. Talking about me, what I'm doing, what this, that. I don't give a fuck about any of them. So, that's my mindset. I'm living my life, and this is my life. So, that's it.